In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning February 12th, 2005, this is the RAIN Report, available in both low bitrate and broadband real audio and Windows Media Streaming from www.rainreport.com, as well as via old-fashioned telephone at area code 847-827-RAIN. That's 847-827-7246. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. For the past few years, the Dayton Hamvention has hosted what has become known as the Live Town Hall Meeting. Forum moderator and amateur radio newsline producer Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, organizes a theme for the half dozen or so speakers that make up said forum. Last year, the theme was amateur radio traditions. One such tradition is the fun you'll find above 30 megahertz, so says Warren Ellie, W1GUD, reporter and anchor for Fox Television in Tampa, Florida.
I discovered ham radio as a child, basically, 15 years old. I guess that's a child. But I owe my life pretty much to ham radio. I wouldn't have been a broadcaster, never would have done the things I've been able to do. And the thing that has amazed me after 36 years of ham radio is that you reinvent yourself. You know, we all get bored, even though this hobby's great. How many times can you talk to Europe on 20 meters? How many times can you talk to your buddies on the repeater? Well, there was an occasion in 1991 when I happened upon a signal on the 2-meter band. I'd gotten an all-mode radio and had never been on sideband on 2 meters. Ran into a guy named Julio Peralta at WB4OJ. He's probably responsible most of all for my weak signal interests. And he became my Elmer. After I'd been a ham 24 years here, I'm learning all these new things. I'd never heard of things like tropo, sporadic E, meteor scatter. Didn't know about any of that stuff. Didn't realize that you could watch the television news or pick up the weather page out of your newspaper and look at the weather patterns and realize that tonight there was going to be propagation on 2 meters. Tonight from Florida, we were going to talk to Boston, or we were going to talk to Houston, or when the meteor showers came, the Perseids, the Leonids, that we were going to hear amazing things, that somehow out of that noise, you would hear this rock burning and signals suddenly popping, like pop, 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 pop. And here's a little piece of a signal that's 1,500 miles away on 2 meters. Just amazing stuff. I'm still learning about it, but one of the things that amazes me that really brings this all home, as you talk about the history of amateur radio. Before World War II and after World War II, the commercial world pretty well disowned the frequencies. They gave them to the hams because nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted 5 meters. Nobody wanted 6 meters. Nobody wanted the VHF frequencies. They were all interested in the broadcast band. Broadcast FM band was new then, but everybody was down there. But in 1935, in QST was the first article by a ham about hearing signals through the troposphere. From the ground to 10 miles up into the atmosphere, we have this thing called the troposphere. I don't want to get too technical, but the bottom line is when a couple of weather fronts get together and a high forms, like in the Atlantic or the Gulf of Mexico or just about anywhere in the country, these conditions, the moisture, the humidity, all these things mix up and a duct forms. It's just like a pipe. And it's amazing that you can take 10 or 15 watts on 2 meters on sideband or CW and you can work for days, hundreds and hundreds of miles. And it's very exciting. The same thing happens on the higher frequencies, on UHF, 432, way up through 1.2 gigs. The 6-meter band, of course, is the magic band. It's thoroughly amazing. The 6-meter band, most people don't realize, is the only VHF band, the only band above 10 meters that is affected by the sunspot cycle. We have the so-called F layer, which when the sunspot cycles reach their peak, and one of my great regrets will always be that in my ham career, only one time have I been around on 6 meters for the sunspot peak, when it happened about 4 years ago in 1999 and 2000. When we're working pileups of Japanese, pileups of Europeans, working the world, on 6 meters. And it's coming again. It's going to be 8-9 years more, but hopefully we'll all be here for that. But in the meantime, there's all these other things that happen with 6 meters out of the blue.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for rain audio.
Just picture the atmospheres. Think of it as layers, and again, to keep this simple. But what will happen is there will be these dense clouds that get ionized, and they're up, sheet here, 50 to 400 miles. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head. But all of a sudden, it'll be tuning across 6 meters, and you hear a signal. And it's, let's say from Florida, it's a W8. So you think, okay, well, I'm going to turn my antenna north. Signal goes away. Where'd the signal go? Turn your antenna west, turn your antenna east. All of a sudden, to the northeast, here, they're peaking up the signal. There's a darn cloud up there that's been ionized, and it's like a mirror. You're holding a mirror up in the atmosphere. Everybody points their antenna at the cloud, and all of a sudden, we're working all kinds of stuff. It is truly amazing to hear these things just come out of all that white noise. If you have a loved one who's not a ham, they'll learn about white noise. Drives my wife crazy. There's also, and it's unique to Florida, you folks who live up north are blessed with aurora, which is another wonderful propagation technique above 30 megahertz. We in Florida and the folks in Texas are blessed with something called TE, transequatorial propagation, and this is a seasonal thing. And basically what happens is we get these pops to the south, amazing, working stations in Chile in the middle of the day on 6 meters. And there's a great book. I'm nowhere near an expert, but I recommend everybody goes and buys this book, Beyond the Line of Sight. It is a compilation of all the QST articles and the history of weak signal ham radio. And just listen to these years when this all started. The first tropo propagation was written about and discovered in QST in 1935. The first sporadic E, those clouds I was talking about, 1938. Trans-EQ, the transequatorial propagation, 1959. Meteor scatter, 1947. We haven't even talked about EME, bouncing signals off the moon, which was in 1946. So the point is, this is an arena where we have been pioneers. Nobody wanted these frequencies, and we capitalized on them. There's a whole generation of hams, many of whom are gone now, who discovered these wonderful things. And I just encourage all of you to read about and learn about weak signals. It isn't just about repeaters. And there's a lot of excitement there. And the best thing is once you've learned a bit about it and experienced the magic, pass it on. Pass it on. At our radio club in Tampa, we're trying every week to get people on the weak signal bands to teach them about it. And I just urge you to give it a try. It's a lot of fun. And I know this is very general, but don't believe that there isn't any fun over 30 megs, because there is. There's a great deal of fun. There are a lot of great people.
This has been another excerpt from the live town hall meeting that was held at the 2004 Dayton Hamvention in Dayton, Ohio. In this excerpt, we heard about the fun above 30 megahertz from Warren Ellie, W1GUD, reporter and anchor for Fox Television in Tampa, Florida. The next Dayton Hamvention is scheduled for the weekend of May 19th. You'll be hearing more about Hamvention 2005 as we get closer to the big show. If you missed last week's interview with CQ propagation columnist Thomas Hood, NW7US, you can still hear it on rainreport.com until the next program is posted around the 19th. The Rain Report is copyright 2005 Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.